I was asked a question this week that is extremely relevant and I believe comes up all the time, so I had the opportunity to look into it, and that is somebody who works in an office building and only has a minyan that is comprised of a couple of people who are Shomrei Shabbos and a number of them are not Shomrei Shabbos. And the question is, what should that person do? Should we assume that that is considered to be a minyan? Is the person allowed to daven mincha with such a minyan? Can you answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu with such a minyan or not? Now, this is a very important question that really has many different important consequences lahalacha. We begin with a Gemara Meseches Erevin, Daf Samach Tes, as well as the Gemara Meseches Chulin on Daf Hei, where we are told, HaMachal Shabbos Bifrahesya, if somebody's Machal Shabbos in a public square, in a public setting, Dino Kenachri, we assume that that person takes on the status of a non-Jew. Now, what exactly does it mean they take on the status of a non-Jew? Does it mean that they're allowed to intermarry? Because now they're considered like a non-Jew, now they have a right to marry a non-Jew as well? Obviously not. Does it mean that now we're allowed to sell them the chametz because now they're considered to be a non-Jew? Absolutely not. We don't have a right to treat them as a non-Jew lahakel, we only treat them as a non-Jew lahachmir. So what exactly does that mean? We find a number of halachas in Shulchan Aruch where we assume that this would make a major distinction, a major difference. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Yerideya, Simon Beis, writes that you have to have a person shecht an animal in order for you to be able to eat it, who is somebody who understands the halachas of Shechita, but also who is a believer in God. If you have a non-Jew who shechts an animal, even if he does everything kedasu kedin, we assume that that Shechita is not considered a kosher Shechita. So over here says the Shulchan Aruch, ha'ochel nevelos lahachas, if you have a person who doesn't keep kosher, or, he says, you have a Mechal Shabbos Bifrahesya. In both of those cases, the Shulchan Aruch assumes Shechita Sam Psula. Their Shechita, if they shecht an animal, if they slaughter an animal, we cannot trust that Shechita and we cannot rely on their Shechita at all. We have to get a different animal. We assume that their animals that they give us are non-kosher at all. Number two, says the Shulchan Aruch in Avin Ezer, that somebody who is a Mumer Lechal Shabbos Bifrahesya, somebody who does not keep Shabbos in a public setting, we assume that they are not able to be the ones designated to write a get for somebody, because a get has to be written lishma, a get has to be written by somebody who is mechuyev v'davar, and therefore we assume, even if you have a non-Jew writes a get in the most beautiful way, that would not be good enough.
Aren't they obvious?
What?
Aren't those things obvious?
Not obvious.
You have to think about it. Why would I trust somebody who's not Shomer Shabbos to write a get?
If I stand right over the person and I tell them exactly what to do. So in America, it's hard for us to imagine because we don't have non-Shomrei Shabbos who know how to write a get. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's very easy to have such a circumstance where you have a non-religious Jew wants to make a couple of dollars and he takes on safras, he learns how to write a get. It would be a great idea. Not only that, the Shulchan Aruch even discusses a case where you have a non-Shomer Shabbos who writes a pair of tefillin. And the Shulchan Aruch says, well, you'll wonder, how can you ever have such a case? The answer is, it's very easy to have such a case. If you have somebody who wants to become a sofer, wants to make money, and they learn how to write a pair of tefillin, says the Shulchan Aruch, tefillin shekasvam eved o mumer la'avodas kochavim, if you have somebody who does not believe in God, or you have somebody who is a mechal Shabbos, says the Shulchan Aruch, if they write tefillin, that tefillin is pasul. Why is it pasul? Because by tefillin we have the halacha, ukshartam, uchsavtam. Only somebody who is obligated to wear the tefillin is the person who is able to write the tefillin. But what do you mean? The mumer is also obligated to wear tefillin. Nobody ever absolved him of his obligation. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. If this person doesn't believe in the mitzvah of tefillin, if this person doesn't believe in God that commanded us to wear the tefillin, they are considered somebody who is a lav bar kshira. They are considered somebody who is disqualified from writing the tefillin. And even if they write it, we would not be able to fulfill our obligation of tefillin by wearing those tefillin. Yeah. So we're getting to that. We're going to have to talk about the parameters of what exactly this means. The Chafetz Chaim writes in a number of places in his Svarim on Shmiras HaLashon that although we know you have to be very careful about Shmiras HaLashon, and one always has to make sure not to talk Lashon Hara, however he says when a person is a Mechal Shabbos Bifrahesya, when you have somebody who's a non-believer in God, the laws of Lashon Hara to them do not apply at all. And it doesn't mean they're allowed to talk Lashon Hara, means we are allowed to talk Lashon Hara about them. And not only that, the Chafetz Chaim even writes, and he was such a tzaddik, but he writes this regardless, that Adarabba, mitzvah leganoso, he says there's a mitzvah to talk Lashon Hara about them. People shouldn't be fooled and think that they're such great tzaddikim. People should know the real story about who this person really is and not fall in with them. So that's a number of places where we find in Halacha this concept of a mumer lechal Shabbos of somebody who's a non-believer is considered for all intents and purposes to be a nachri. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in one of his Svarim that although this might be true, it doesn't mean that that person is no longer obligated to keep mitzvahs. They are obligated to keep mitzvahs, and therefore he says, we need to be sensitive to that consideration. Therefore, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, he doesn't think it's proper to order a taxi. Let's say you have to run to the airport right after Shabbos. So he says, in Yerushalayim, the likelihood is when you order a taxi, it's going to be a Jew, right? Most of the times you're going to get a Jew who's going to drive the taxi. And he says, if you have to run to the airport right after Shabbos and you're going to order a taxi to be right outside of your house the moment Shabbos is over, the chances are that it was a Jewish person who was not keeping Shabbos, not observing Shabbos, who's going to come to your house and pick you up. And he says, that's not right for me to make that person violate the laws of Shabbos to come and pick me up right after Shabbos when I know it's going to involve them in Chilul Shabbos, right? So Shlomo Zalman, one has to be very concerned, very careful about that. And just because he considers himself a non-believer, or he considers himself a non-Shomer Shabbos, doesn't mean we have the right to make him be Mechal Shabbos. And that was something Rav Shlomo Zalman was very sensitive to. So much so that when he got into a taxi, even on a Sunday morning, he said that he knew that many of the taxi drivers were not going to make Havdalah, and he knows that Havdalah is a mitzvah we're all supposed to do at the end of every Shabbos. In fact, the Rambam says part of the mitzvah of Zechar Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadshu is not only to say Kiddush, but also to say Havdalah. And therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when he got into a taxi on Matzoi Shabbos or Sunday, used to make sure to say to the taxi, Shavua Tov. Why? Because he said that was a way of the taxi driver being mekayim the mitzvah of Havdalah, that he is being mavdil, and Kodesh L'chol, he's being mavdil, he's showing we're separating between Shabbos and the rest of the week. So again, we have to be sensitive as practicing Jews, as Orthodox Jews, we have to be sensitive that that person still should keep to whatever halachas they can. And we can't be the cause of them violating any halachas. However, with regard to certain halachas, we assume, as we mentioned, they might lose the status as a regular Orthodox Jew, and therefore we cannot use a get that is written by them, we cannot use the tefillin that is written by them, we cannot trust them with regard to the laws of Shechita and many other things. Now, as you mentioned, the million-dollar question is, what does it mean to be a Mechal Shabbos Bifra Hesya? How do we define Mechal Shabbos, and how do we define Bifra Hesya? There are two parts to that question. What kind of the laws of Shabbos do I have to violate in order to be considered a Mechal Shabbos? So unfortunately, much to our dismay, we have many children today who keep half Shabbos. So they keep all of Shabbos, they come to shul, they eat the meals on Shabbos, and they wash, and they bench, and they daven, but they text on Shabbos. So would that make you a Mechal Shabbos Bifra Hesya? Are you now considered to be somebody who is off limits? Well, not so fast, because the Be'er Heitiv and the Pesachei Tshuva quote a major machlokas haposkim, which malacha one has to violate in order to be considered a Mechal Shabbos. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes that maybe we should say the only time somebody is deemed as a Mechal Shabbos is if they violate something not just which is a Torah prohibition on Shabbos, but only if they violate something which is punishable with Misas Bezdin. Only if they violate something which is so severe that if it was in the times that we had a judicial system in Yerushalayim, we would administer capital punishment for doing that aveir, which is not everything on Shabbos. Just because one texts on Shabbos, I'm not limiting the amount of Chilul Shabbos that's involved in that, but it's not the most severe way of being Mechal Shabbos, and therefore writes the Pesachei Tshuva, that would not warrant a person to be considered a Mechal Shabbos. Others disagree and say no. Even if you violate just a rabbinic prohibition of Shabbos, that is already considered to be someone who is a Mechal Shabbos Bifra Hesya, and in fact, in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim, Simon Shin Pei Hei, we adopt that opinion, and we assume that even someone who's Mechal Shabbos only on an Issur D'Rabbanan, which we would say is not from the most severe Averis that one would violate during the year, we assume that is already going to deem you a Mechal Shabbos enough that we consider you a Mechal Shabbos Bifra Hesya, and you are considered like an Akum with regard to all those halachos. There is another discussion about how many times do I have to violate the Averis. So one time on Shabbos I had a Yetzirah and I did something wrong, that already disqualifies me? Well, this is a major discussion. The Be'er Heitiv writes in Shulchan Aruch, no, the only time you can be considered a Mechal Shabbos is if you do it a number of times, if you become accustomed and now you forget about the halach and you're not interested in keeping that law of Shabbos anymore, then we consider you to be a Mechal Shabbos. But if somebody makes a mistake one time, not a mistake, but if someone deliberately does something wrong and the Yetzahara gets the best of them, but it was only one time, that would not be enough to consider you a Mechal Shabbos. However, the Shach disagrees, and the Shach takes the stringent opinion, and he says, no, if a person willingly goes ahead and violates one of the laws of Shabbos, and he did it even one time, but you do it on purpose, and you're just not interested in the fact that Shabbos is today, and we have laws of Shabbos, and malachos of Shabbos, writes the Shach, you would already be held accountable, and you would already lose your status of a Jew, even from that alone. The Mishneh Berurah adopts that stringent opinion of the Shach, which is very surprising, but that is the way he assumes, that even if one is Mechal Shabbos only once, even only on an Issur D'Rabbanan, that would already consider them to be a mechala Shabbos b'farhesia. Now, as you mentioned, what exactly is considered b'farhesia? Now, this too is a major discussion in the poskim. And some achronim say that farhesia only means if you do it in front of 10 people, because that's what's considered a crowd. Farhesia means you do it in front of a crowd. So much so that the Binyan Sion argues that it has to be in front of 10 people who are all standing here. But let's say I drive a car, and one person sees me on this corner, and one person on the next corner. And over the course of the whole community, I only see 10 people scattered out throughout the many blocks. Right, the Binyan Sion, that wouldn't even be considered b'farhesia, because you have to have 10 people all in front of each other present, and you go ahead and you violate Shabbos in front of them. It shows that it's a brazenness inside of you that's bringing you to be Mechala Shabbos. If you just do it in front of one person, I don't care about that person. That's not going to hold me back from being Mechala Shabbos. When you have a group of 10 people and you still choose to be Mechala Shabbos in front of them, that shows that the laws of Shabbos really don't mean anything to you, and that's when we assume that you would be considered a Mechala Shabbos before Hesia. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes, based on a Gemara Maseches Eruvin, Daf Samach Tes, that this really is not the only qualification to consider someone a Mechala Shabbos before Hesia. The Gemara says that if a person would be embarrassed to do this activity in front of an Adam Gadol, in front of somebody who is the Gadol Ador, in front of someone who's a well-recognized figure in the community, then is the only time that we consider them to be a Mechala Shabbos before Hesia. But if they would just do it in front of their neighbors and friends, who they don't respect so much, that would not be considered a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia. And this is the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it, lahalacha, that the only time one would be considered a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia is if you would go ahead and violate the Aveira in front of the Gadol Ador, who you recognize as the Gadol Ador, only then would you be considered a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia as well. I think many of, unfortunately, the people in our types of communities who might be Mechala Shabbos in private, who do certain things, who might be texting, they are embarrassed about it. They would never do it in front of an Adam Gadol. They wouldn't do that, and therefore we certainly do not have the right to consider them Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia. First of all, they're violating Yisurim d'Rabbanan primarily, and second of all, they would never do it b'farhesia. Maybe some of them would, but generally that is not the case that we're referring to. They're embarrassed, they're ashamed, but the Yetzer Hara gets the best of them, and that's something that unfortunately we all suffer with in our different areas of our lives. One very important halacha that is discussed quite often is, what about the status of a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia with regard to Stam Yenam? We know that when we have wine around the table, you're not supposed to have, if it's Yayin She'enam Avushal, if it's wine that was not cooked, we know that you're not supposed to have a non-Jew handle the wine. So what exactly does it mean you're not supposed to have a non-Jew handle the wine? And what if a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia, who's Dino K'non-Jew, who's Dino K'akum, what would you say about that? So the truth is, the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah has a number of rabbinic institutions, a number of takanos midrabanan that were instituted in order mishum chasnus, mishum hiskarvus, because the non-Jews, we were afraid that we would intermarry, we were afraid that the Jewish community would assimilate too much, and therefore we assumed that if we stop Jews from eating the cooked food of non-Jews, and if we stop Jews from eating the milk and the cheese of non-Jews, and the wine that's handled by a non-Jew, that would be a good way to make a barrier between the Jewish community and the non-Jews. What about when you have a Jew who is a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia and Dino Ka'akum? Does he also fall into these rules and regulations with regard to Stam Yenam? That is a very important question, and the Shulchan Aruch himself discusses it, and he quotes in the name of the Rashba, that not only does this apply to a non-Jew who handles wine, but it also applies to a Jew who is considered a Mechala Shabbos b'farhesia, Dino Ka'akum, he also would invalidate the wine, which the Chazon Ish and many others question, and they wonder, why is that true? If the whole reason, if the whole impetus for the institution was because we don't want intermarriage, we don't want that our children should assimilate, you can't call that assimilation. If my child marries one of their children, in the end of the day, they're still marrying Jews. They might have a halachic status of non-Jews, but you can't say that it's like my child is intermarried, chas v'shalom, and therefore the Chazon Ish says this psak of the Rashba is very questionable and it's very hard to understand, but in the end of the day, that is the psak that is followed in Shulchan Aruch, and that is what most of the Achronim assume. The Shach quotes it for many others as well. So although the Chasam Sofer and the Chazon Ish question the assumption, this is generally considered to be the assumption that we follow the halacha. That being said, when it comes to issues of stam yenam, of handling wine that might not be cooked, there are many tzadim lahakel. There are many ways out of the problem, and one shouldn't assume that just because you have an irreligious Jew in the house who may have touched the wine, that doesn't always invalidate the wine. The same goes if you have a non-Jew proper in the house, and a non-Jew is helping around in the house, not always is the wine going to become stam yenam, that's no longer allowed to be drunk. One has to know the halachas very carefully. It's beyond the scope of the time that we have for today. But in general, we would assume that this would be another application where we would have to worry about perhaps a mumer dino ka'akum, or a person who is mechal Shabbos dino ka'akum, handling the wine the same way we have an issue with regard to writing a get, the same way we have an issue with regard to writing the tefillin, and a number of issues that we mentioned before. Mirz Hashem, tomorrow we'll have to talk about what does one do, the question that we started with, when you have one of these kinds of Jews, who is a wonderful Jew, but unfortunately doesn't believe in God or does not keep Shabbos, are they allowed to be counted toward the minyan, or perhaps one should be careful not to.